This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. This week, over 100 prisoners awaiting execution got at least a temporary reprieve. A federal appeals court in California ruled that the inmates' death sentences were unconstitutional because they were determined by a judge rather than a jury. For most of this program, we're going to focus on judges and juries. Is a jury verdict more legitimate, fairer? A lot of you have served on juries at one time or another. What do you think? Our phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and our email address is totn@npr.org. First, though, news from the White House today that one of President Bush's judicial nominees has withdrawn his name. Joining us here in Studio 3A to tell us more about Miguel Estrada's decision to bow out is NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenbergen. Always nice to have you on the program, Nina.
My pleasure, Neil.
Tell us about this nomination, and how did it come to the point today of Mr. Estrada deciding to withdraw?
Well, Estrada was one of, if memory serves me, was one of the first, I think, 12 judicial nominees that the president made soon after he took office. And at his confirmation hearing, which was not for about a year after the nomination.
Democrats were in control of the Senate then.
They were still in control of the Senate. They had promised that they would give him a hearing, which they claimed was better than the Republicans ever did for their nominees. Anyway, they did give him a hearing after about a year, and they asserted that they were very dissatisfied because they said that he wasn't responsive to their questions, and I was there. He basically, when they would ask him his views, he would say what the law was, and then he would say he would abide by the law. And they said, that's not enough because we don't know what your views are. You haven't written anything. The only thing you've written, they said, are memos that you wrote when you served in the Solicitor General's office and in the Justice Department, and we want those. And they asked for them, and the Bush administration refused to give them. And those, they were backed up by every living former Solicitor General who said, you know, people won't give us good advice. And then the Democrats said, well, you've given them to us before in other cases. The Senate's gotten these kind of memos, which they have. And there they had, there you had it. And there were seven times that the Republicans tried to shut off debate on the Senate floor. He was reported out of committee on a party line vote, and then it went to the Senate floor. And you need 60 votes to shut off debate. And seven times they tried, and seven times they failed. And today, Miguel Estrada sent the president a letter basically saying, I'm moving on with my life. Enough is enough.
This was, beyond the procedural stuff you're talking about, an ideological struggle. The thought was Miguel Estrada on the Democratic side was too conservative for their taste. And this was important because he was thought to be on the fast track to the Supreme Court.
That's right. And he's Hispanic. He's a Honduran immigrant with a sort of American dream story, became one of the editors of the Harvard Law Review. And he's very bright. Everybody says he's brilliant, and lots of people also say he's very, very conservative. So the Democrats said they're going to, you should pardon the expression, Clarence Thomas us. They're going to put him on the D.C. Circuit, and then we'll vote for him for that. And then they'll say, aha, you voted for him. Now he's nominated to the Supreme Court. And they didn't want that to happen, so they did everything in their power to prevent that from happening, and they have succeeded.
Now, he is not the only Bush judicial nominee to face such opposition. There are a number of other conservative nominees who are still up before the Senate?
There are, and there are at least, by my count, I think, three other ongoing filibusters where there were party-line votes in the committee, and the Democrats think that the individual is so far over the edge, beyond out of the mainstream, as they would put it, that they just won't vote for him. And so, therefore, they are in a minority, a bare minority, but they are in a minority in the Senate. They can't get President Bush to, quote, consult with him, meaning compromise at all. President Bush keeps nominating very ideological people, by and large. The Democrats keep saying, if you do that, we won't quote, rubber stamp you. So the only power they have, really, is the filibuster, because they don't have the votes if the Republicans stick together, which they do on lower court nominees, always. And I can't think of a single solitary case where there's been a defection. And therefore, that's their only weapon. They've used it, I think, a total of four times on four nominees, and I would expect there are probably a few more they may use it on in the future. And the Republicans are Furious.
And as you mentioned a few moments ago, the Democrat said, well, this is better than you did for us when we were about in the minority and blah, blah, blah. What goes around comes around. This is not going away, is it?
No, and it only gets worse. The Republicans say, but we never filibustered a nominee, which they didn't. And in fact, when they got to the Senate floor, the Republican leadership, did vote with the Democrats to bring nominations, Clinton nominations, to a vote, even though they then often opposed those nominees.
When they got to the floor.
When they got to the floor. But there were, I think, 60 nominees who never got a vote in committee. And so that's the trick to part of this question. And actually, 11 of them finally withdrew in just this form.
But it goes back to Bork and, as you mentioned, Clarence Thomas.
It goes back and back, and it's probably going to get worse before it gets better.
Thanks very much, Nina Totenberg, NPR's legal affairs correspondent with us here in Studio 3A. And, of course, we'll have more on this story later today on All Things Considered. Thanks very much for coming in.
My pleasure, Neil.